Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Thank you. You may be seated. How many would say, I've got at least one friend in this world today? At least one. How many would say, I only got one? No, don't raise your hand for that. Well, I can tell you, you've got a friend. You've got a friend, no matter who you are today. Jesus said, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. George Washington, he said this, true friendship is a plant of slow growth. Someone a little more close to Michigan here, Henry Ford said, my best friend is the one who brings out the best in me. Ulysses S. Grant, the great general and later on president during the Civil War era, he said this, the friend in my adversity I shall always cherish most. I can better trust those who helped to relieve the gloom of my dark hours than those who are so ready to enjoy with me the sunshine of my prosperity. And then Cookie Monster, how many have ever heard of him? He said, sometimes me think, what is friend? Then me say, friend is someone to share the last cookie with. What would you call a friend? Jesus says, a friend, a great friend who loves another is one who lays down his life for some other people or another person. I'd like to talk to you this morning about the kind of friend Jesus is to you. The kind of friend Jesus is to you. By the way, I say is, not just was. We can speak of those we've loved and maybe friends who've gone on and passed, and we can speak of them in the past, but with Jesus we can speak about him in the present and in the future. So consider that as we think about the kind of friend Jesus is to you. Would you bow with me and we'll ask God to help us before we go any further. Lord, we thank you and we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your great love. We're going to read all about that today. Now, Lord, I pray, help us to search our own hearts, Lord. See what you see. Help us to see if there's a need for a decision, something to change, Lord, which if we want to be like Christ, most likely there is. Then help us to be willing to do that, Lord, knowing that that's where the real abundant life is, to be close to you and to him. May you get the glory through the things we look and share, and pray your Holy Spirit would have freedom to speak today, Lord. I'll ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The kind of friend Jesus is to you. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this. Jesus is the friend that loves us. The friend that loves us. The Bible says there's the greatest kind of love is when a man or someone lays down his life for his friends. Willingly, purposefully, completely. And Scripture records God loves us too. God the Father loves us through giving Jesus to us. Scripture records God's love through giving Jesus to you and I. John 3:16, if you know it, would you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God the Heavenly Father gave his only begotten Son. If you've ever had a child or know others who have children and so forth, you understand, or you had a mother or father, you understand the great sacrifice it is to offer a child to this type of a need, to give his life simply because somebody else needs it, because somebody else needs it. And the Bible, that's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world, loved it. I think of it this way. If I were to hear about someone who had needed a heart transplant, you know, there's different things you can transplant that you still survive. Kidneys, other things. And you can still survive if you give those things and organs to another person. But if a heart transplant is needed, you know what has to happen. Someone has to be gone. But what if you heard about that in a hospital today? There's a need, and one of your children fit the bill perfectly. Their heart would be perfect to help this person survive. But there's nothing wrong with your child. They're in completely good health. They have a lot to look forward to. In fact, they're young and much is ahead of them. Consider that kind of sacrifice. That's the, in my mind, that's the love it takes that God did for you and me. He sent Jesus for you. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells us, Scripture tells us God's love. He loves us through giving Jesus to us. But we also read that the cross displayed Christ's love when he stayed there till death. Notice the words again here in verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When Jesus went to the cross, I love that song. He could have called 10,000 angels. Anybody remember that song? An old one, one of my favorites. And then the chorus goes, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set them free, but he died alone for you and me. He stayed on the cross when he could have come down, and it shares how much he loves you. John chapter 10 and verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The cross is exhibit number one, the crucifixion of Christ, of his great love for you and me. Jesus loves us even when he knows every one of our sins. Would you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1? He's the friend that loves us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, he loves us even when he knows everyone, each one of the sin that we do or harbor or continue. He knows it. 1 Timothy 1, take a look, verse number 15. The Bible says here, speaking of the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, he says this is a faithful saying. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Then would you read the last phrase with me? Of whom I am chief. He says, there's no one who's been worse than me. And sometimes in some days we might think, boy, that sounds like me. That sounds like me. I can't think of how worse I could be today, God. But you still love me. You still love me. And Jesus still went to the cross and died for that. He died for that. He died for me. And he stayed there. And he rose again. Amen. He's alive today. He loves us even though he knows every one of our sins. And yet God says, I died for that. He's a greater and loving friend. He's the friend that loves us. Let's go back to John 15 there and continue. Again, the Bible says in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is the friend that always welcomes us. Jesus is the friend that always welcomes us. You know, Jesus doesn't turn people away. Amen? He doesn't do that. He says, I died for you. Why don't you take advantage and receive that invitation as it's for all who are willing and open to it? Jesus was our loving friend. Did you know this? Before you ever knew him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says this, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Jesus was our loving friend before we even knew him. And then we can understand this, can't we? We have daughters-in-law right now expecting. We're excited for them, excited for our family. And I'm here to tell you, they love that little baby that's inside the womb. They love those kids. And they're talking to them, you know. They're going to remember our voice. Well, when they come out, whatever they seem to remember makes them cry. I don't know what that means. That's what babies do. But that little baby has no idea what love is yet. Not only not only does he or she not know, but they have no idea what love is. And God in his grace loved you and me just like that. We didn't even know we needed his love. And yet here we see it's impossible to get into eternity and have eternal life without it. Jesus was our loving friend before we knew of him. And Jesus bled so that we could be his friend. Would you go to Romans chapter 5 with me? Romans chapter 5 and take a look there. Jesus bled so that we can be his friend. Romans 5, as he says, a greater love that a man lay down his life for his friends. Chapter 5, take a look at verse number 8, if you would with me. 8, 9, and 10 is what we're going to look at. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Oh, friend, do you see the importance of accepting what Christ did on the cross for you, for me? In sin, without him, I'm his enemy. Even though he loves me, I'm his enemy. But in salvation, accepting what he did on the cross, asking for God to save my soul, pay the price and apply that to me. In salvation, I'm his friend. I'm his friend. Jesus is the friend that always welcomes us, and he bled so that I can be his friend. Have you called on Christ for salvation? Charlotte Elliott. She was raised in a Christian home. This was late 1700s, early 1800s. She was gifted in artistry and writing poetry, which made her a favorite in social circles where actually religion was not welcome. In her early 30s, she became seriously ill and was visited by a family friend and at the time a famous preacher named Dr. Caesar Millan. Upon hearing of her deep discouragement, Mr. Millan asked Charlotte if she truly knew Jesus as her Savior. She took offense to the question, and in her own words, she said she was quite rude to the preacher, but a few days later, she sent for Dr. Millan and apologized. She said she wanted to clean up her life before becoming a Christian. Mr. Millan answered, Charlotte, the Lord loves you. He invites you to come just as you are. She received Christ as her Savior that day, but her illness left her an invalid the remainder of her life. And she used her gifts to write hymns about Jesus. The last count I read was over 1,000 in those years following. About 10 years later, Charlotte's poor health brought back the preacher's words. And in her weakness, she wrote this. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Friend, if you need Christ, you come. There's nothing else you have to do. Jesus has paid it all, as the song says. But if you do receive him, it's a new life. It's new. Everything becomes new. Revelation 1, verse 5 says this, and from Jesus Christ, John writing to the churches and writes of Jesus, who is faithful, the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Wow. That's the kind of friend Jesus is to you. Jesus is the friend that always welcomes us. Jesus is the friend that loves us. And a final thought as we go back to John chapter 15. Would you look there again? John 15. And verse 15, I'll read verse 14 and 15 as we look here. Again, it says, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Jesus is the friend that wants us to be together with him always, always. He says, I have made known unto you the things that the Father tells me, the Father in heaven, the things of eternity he has shared with us. And we see it in the Word of God that God continues to preserve and share with us today. Amen. We've got the words of God. And Jesus said, I want to share with you what the Father wants you to know. Jesus, the Bible tells us, is present with his friends in this world. You say, wait a minute. I've seen guys who say they look like Jesus. I've seen articles or videos or shows that portray Jesus, but I don't remember seeing him personally face to face. Well, let me share with you what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28. Would you go there with me, please? Matthew 28. Jesus is present with his friends in this world, and he's present with us today. But I want to look at a couple specific reasons and times he says, you know it at that time. Matthew 28. So friend, if you receive Christ as your Savior, the Bible says Jesus is present with you. And one of the times specifically he says that he's present is as we go to share him with others. He's present as we go to share him with others. I'm going to start in verse number 18 in Matthew 28. We often hear these verses during the times of missions work or missions when we have the weeks of missions and so forth. But these are verses for any time. Amen. They are important for us all. I'm going to ask, would you read them with me? I'm going to read verse 18, 19, and 20. Would you read those with me in Matthew 28? Let's read it together. Let's begin. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. As we go to share him with others, God says, Jesus says, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you. In fact, he says, not only I'm going to go with you, but wherever you go, I'm going to. I'm going to. As we go to share him with others, the Bible says Jesus' presence is uniquely felt and there. Notice what he said in verse 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and where? Right here. Right here. That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed in almost 2,000 years. It's still the same. And the Lord Jesus, if you know him today, he says, I want you to remember when you're there to try to tell somebody about me or about spiritual things or God himself, I'm with you. I'm with you. Jesus is present with his friends in this world as we trust in his care each day. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. He's present with us as we trust in his care each day. If you want to look there, Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. These are some of those 911 verses. 911 verses, meaning in case of emergency. This is some scripture that could be a great help to us in those times. Hebrews 13, verse 5, verse number 6, here's what it says. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, what? Nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Forsake means to leave behind. To leave behind. Here's Christ's plan. He's going to be with us to help get through it every day. Now, what he requires of you? Look to him for that help. He says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Is the Lord your helper today? I remember being a helper. Anybody ever been a helper before? You know what's interesting about a helper? They're usually not the one who leads. They're not the one who's given the main responsibility. And yet Jesus says, I'm willing to help you. I'm willing to do what is needed in your life. And by the way, Jesus should be leading. Amen. He should be leading, but he says, I'm willing to help if you look to me. Jesus is present with his friends in this world as we trust in his care. And Jesus promises his friends a home in heaven with him. John 14, if you go back to the Gospel of John, he tells us there, and again, verses that perhaps we've heard many times, but verse number 3 is what we want to look at. Verse number 3 in John 14, here's what it says. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus promises his friends not only that he's present in this world with them, but that he has a home in heaven with him someday to go to. Talks about that day in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse number 16 and 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And then it says, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." With the Lord. Amen, brother. Man, you're just trying to find time with your family a little bit more. Trying to find time with whoever is important a little bit more. And Jesus says, there's going to come a day where you're going to be with me all the time. And we'll never get tired of him. Amen. Don't ever get tired of being with the Lord today. Make it a daily time to be with him. Friend, if you know Christ as your Savior, remember he's with you in this world. And he promises you're with him in the world to come, in the everlasting life to be with him. And what a great time that will be. Jesus is our friend. He's the friend that loves us. He's the friend that welcomes us. He's the friend that wants to be together with us and him with us with him. Are you ready to receive Christ's loving friendship? But it must be received by faith, accepting that what he says is true based on who he is, who he is. And Christian, are you loving God and loving others also, as it told us here in 1 John? The way Jesus loves, we sang it. We sang the song, "Love as I loved, give as I gave to you." And God says, you're the example to others. You're the one who shows who Jesus can be for them, the Savior. We can't save anybody else. But God says, I can. So leave that to me. Leave that to me. But we can get the word out about the friend he is to everyone who comes to him. Heavenly Father, thank you for a friend like Jesus who has love even though he knows everything about us, as do you. And God, because of that, I pray it would increase or show us the need for faith in him. To accept what he says, that he'll save us from the terrible price of sin that affects us in this life, but will be unavoidable in the next, in hell and the lake of fire. And yet, God, we can avoid all that by receiving him as Savior. God, I pray, help us to search our hearts today. Perhaps there is a need. As a believer in Christ, he's our example. The friend he is to us is the friend we should be to others. And certainly there's times we fail. Oh God, show us, is there something we need to bring before you? Or make simply a commitment, Lord, even today, that we're going to give our life to you, so that as a witness, as one who tries to share Christ with others, that you have a vessel to work with that is a volunteer. May you get the glory, Lord, I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask a couple questions and I'll be done. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands today, but I'm going to ask, would you consider these questions? Friend, are you here this morning? Have you received Christ as your Savior? If not, why don't you make today the day? It's an easy day to remember, the last day of May. And it's a beautiful day. And it's a wonderful day in God's house. But it can be a new day, for a new life, if you call on Him for salvation. If that's your need, don't wait. Don't wait on anybody else. Let Jesus save you. Christian friend, if God's spoken to you about your testimony, where you're at in your walk with Him, and He says, this has got to change, this has to come to me, or whatever, would you take this on? The next step in your life, in Christian life, would you do it today? Again, a day to remember, May 31st, it's easy to remember. And let God have His way. From here on out, Lord, I'm going to be with You. I'm going to do it Your way. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd speak to us and use this time of invitation for Your glory, nobody else's. And may You get the glory in it, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads still bowed, please, and eyes still closed. Would you stand if you're able? I'm going to ask the organ to softly play the song we'll sing. And as she begins to play in just a moment, maybe God's spoken to you right where you're at, or you can take a big step and ask God up front for help. Whatever it is, maybe the Lord, I know the Lord's listening, as He asked you to respond in these ways. If you'd like to talk to God about salvation, I'll have my Bible. I'm available. If that's the Lord's leading, and we have others too who can, if that's your desire. But God wants you in His family today, if that's the need. As she begins to play, would you respond today to the friend?